I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This is The Conversation. American flag lapel pins are a frequent sight on politicians' coats. The implication is clear. The wearers believe they are showing their patriotism, or at least that's what they'd like others to believe. With deep partisan divisions across the country, there's also very different ideas of what it means to be a patriot. On this day before the nation's 241st anniversary, we thought we'd take a look at the idea of patriotism now. HPU history professor John Davidan joins us with some of his observations. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Beth Ann.
You've talked about five distinct epochs of patriotism within our country's history. What are they?
Right. So when we look at American history, of course, the first one is emerging patriotism during the Revolutionary period. The second one is contested patriotism during the Civil War. The third one, imperial patriotism during the late 19th century when the United States became an imperial power. The fourth one would be the 1960s patriotism really in crisis when flags were being burned, not worn on lapels. And then, of course, the present day, the fifth one, where patriotism, I would argue, is in decline or it has been eroded.
Why has it been eroded in ways now that we didn't see perhaps even in the 60s? Is that due to perhaps the fact that we are in a much more globalist society? People identify themselves a little differently these days?
Right. I think, of course, the process of globalization has been going on for a long time, maybe in the modern period since 1870, but it's really accelerated. And I think Americans became aware of that process in the 1990s under the Clinton administration, the rise of the Internet, email, wireless communication, and, of course, people traveling all over the world, global corporations. Globalization is not just a process. It's a way for people to identify themselves. And I think so you can identify with the American flag. You can identify with food in Japan or Korea. You can identify with a European pop star. So in an age of global communication, global trade, global exchange, I think it's really become more confusing for Americans to be patriots.
Once upon a time, if you said you were an American, that connoted something in the mind of the listener. That seems to be very different given what you've just said, that people can find their community at a touch of a button. So what does it mean now if someone says, I'm patriotic?
Right. Well, I still think there's a core meaning there that at least I would hope they know that patriotism is defined as love of country. And I would assume that's still a part of what they feel. But, you know, it has a lot of different meanings today. It has always had a lot of different meanings. The America First movement, that would suggest that that's an inherently patriotic movement. But, of course, the America First organization historically was also patriotic, but it excluded certain kinds of people and was very anti-Semitic. So, you know, patriotism is love of country, but it seems that in nations we've almost always divided between those who can be citizens and those who cannot. So there's this kind of double edge to patriotism.
We talk about rights a lot. People feeling that they have rights to things or being sold an idea of, for example, the American dream. Everybody should have a house. Everybody should have all kinds of things. Right. But that's seemingly at odds with what you've just said and what we see in history. How do we better write that ideal and couch it in terms of being patriotic?
Yeah. So I think there's some of this happening right now. When I talk to people who have been maybe in the past been identified as not being so patriotic, they're stepping up and saying, you know what, we need to be more patriotic because it looks like we're in a bit of a political crisis and, you know, a very divided nation. One way to bridge the divides of the nation is to identify with the history of the nation, with the positives of the nation. In terms of those who were previously left out of the nation and now are more a part of the nation, you know, groups like, you know, slaves or Native Americans.
Or the 442nd.
Or the 442nd, right. You know, that can be an expansion of patriotism. It doesn't have to actually go against patriotism.
So now, as we're about to celebrate this 241st anniversary of the founding of this country, and you mentioned that was the original patriotism, that still also comes with it a lot of baggage that we don't necessarily talk about, where not everybody had all of the rights as were originally envisioned, certain things that people feel are imbued within the Constitution that frankly may not be. And the Constitution is a very different document than, say, you know, what we saw with, you know, the Bill of Rights and what we saw, you know, very original thought and what had to be traded off to be able to even get the Constitution signed. We don't seem to remember those kinds of ideas when we talk about patriotism either.
Right. You know, the Constitution's a really important document, and for whatever flaws it has in it, of course, there are references to slavery in the Constitution. It seemed to enfranchise this elite of white males. Whatever those flaws are, the Constitution has evolved, and I think we should evolve our understanding with it. And foremost, I think we should understand it. There's a great full-page spread in the New York Times Sunday edition of the Constitution and politicians and scholars' comments on the Constitution and the way it's evolved. So it's a really powerful document. It's maybe the most successful political system in the history of the world based on this document. So we should definitely get a better understanding of the document.
But tomorrow we're going to celebrate the Declaration of Independence, which seems to be a much more pure document. If you just look at how it says what it says, it seems not to have some of those same issues that you just brought up about the Constitution.
That's true. You know, Abraham Lincoln, who was, of course, a great political leader and the president of the United States during the Civil War, he had a problem with the Constitution because the Constitution endorsed slavery by allowing slaves to be counted as part of the population. But he loved the Declaration of Independence. He loved its simplicity, its call to freedom. And so in that time period of contested patriotism, Lincoln expanded our notion of who could be patriotic. He expanded our notion of freedom. And that to me is a beautiful moment in the country, a moment that we should study and understand very well.
Would you suggest then that it might be a good idea tomorrow, notwithstanding, but to take a really good long look at the Declaration of Independence?
I think so. It's a beautiful document. It's a very interesting document. I mean, it's simple in the beginning, right, with the, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those are great. And then it's also a critique of the British rule in the colonies, because Jefferson hated the Church of England. He hated the monarchy, and he condemns all of those in the back pages of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, we don't seem to talk about that very much, and we don't seem to import those ideas into perhaps our own ideas of patriotism or how it's evolved over these 241 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing about the Declaration of Independence, I think it's much more of a transcendent document than the Constitution, which was a series of compromises, as you noted. I think anything we can do to educate the American people about these two documents is really crucial.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in. Always good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Beth Ann. Have a good 4th of July.
And you have a very happy 4th of July,
okay,
too.
Thanks.
John David Ann is professor of history at Hawaii Pacific University.